Good morning. It is 7:41 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our chat with State Representative Doug Blux, who joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Well, great. We're having a lot of cool weather, which is nice. I love, but my tomatoes in the garden don't really like all this cool weather.
No, I definitely hear you, but I know it's going to be a lot warmer here before we know it, but it is a little unseasonably cool for the start of May, first day of May here today. So I know we got to talk with State Representatives Ron Bryce and Virgil Peck here, State Senator, kind of a little bit of a recap here of the legislative session. And I know we're kind of curious to get, you know, maybe some of your thoughts here on the session now that it's all said and done. And also on some of those vetoes. I know we kind of waited for a while, but the governor did go ahead and veto several items here. So kind of getting your thoughts on those.
Well, probably one of my greatest disappointments of not getting some a real good property tax relief, and certainly we did push the limit, and a lot of strife and dissension amongst the House and the Senate, but House Bill 2043 would have allowed for a protest petition of at least 10% of the qualified voters that voted in the last Secretary of State's election, and if a local governing body exceeded the revenue neutral rate and had a 3%, greater than a 3%, they would have been able to have that protest petition and stop that. So I guess it did pass the House with enough votes and the Senate for an veto override, but we adjourned rather quickly and didn't get a chance to do it. And basically, really, kind of in a nutshell, what this governor's veto done. It put local government officials, city and county leaders, over ahead of individual taxpayers. You know, it kind of, and maybe the state doesn't have a right to interfere with local elections. I kind of understand that, but it was something people really gripe about is property taxes.
I know that is definitely one of those things that that your fellow representatives here kind of brought up. So obviously, you know, it doesn't look like that would be overridden. I mean, because you'd have to have a special session to do that, right?
No, I don't believe it'll be a special session on it. This is an election year. You know, House and Senate leaders are actively campaigning for other jobs, so I doubt seriously if we'd be able to. It takes a 2/3 majority of both chambers to call us back into session, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I know there was also the child tax credits there that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and Senate Bill 82, and that was actually a good bill, and I actually voted against it and kind of wanted to explain why sometimes legislators vote against certain things. That was would allow employers up to $100,000 of tax credit if they provided a child care service for their employees, which is a good thing. You know, child care is a huge issue in today's world. And there were several other things in that. One of the things had a tax credit for higher ethanol sales blends. And the other one was if you bought a lockable gun safe, there'd be a tax credit on it. And while all those are worthy things, I voted no on that basically because of the ethanol and probably being a farmer and utilizing corn to produce ethanol, that was probably not a smart thing. But the reason I voted no is it would have benefited one local company, and basically they would have been retroactively back for doing something that they was already doing and not changing anything. So sometimes when you see a vote that you don't understand why your legislature does it, a lot of times the devil's in the details. That's just the bottom line.
Sure, I understand that. So now, would you like to comment here on any of the bills that the governor did go ahead and sign into law?
Yeah, there was a lot of good things that she signed into law, and you know, we had a lot of good things done, and you know, some of them that you don't think are really that important to you can actually be a good thing. So, you know, I'll give her credit. She uses a veto pen. We overrode quite a few vetoes in the initial session, but one of the things that I was kind of a little bit disappointed in is her stance on the legislative post-audit report on the SNAP benefits. They basically just wasn't asking the right questions. We had out-of-state people that was Kansas residents moved out of state and basically fraudulently collected up to $1.2 million of SNAP benefits that they weren't really eligible for. And Department of Children and Families, which the Kansas side of that agency that administers that, kind of, in my opinion, failed. And I think part of that was maybe through some reluctance of the governor to give information to the federal government on that, because that's a 50-50 program, 50% federal money and 50% Kansas taxpayer money. So, but if they moved out of state, they're supposed to do a report on 6 months and never 12 months. And basically, it was self-attestation. They really were not verifying those people. You just said, yeah, I'm eligible, and they didn't really report it. So that's one of the things I'm really disappointed. The Inspector General has really been doing a good job of getting that fraudulent payments corrected. And you got to keep in mind that, and I'm all for those people that need it, but if it's fraudulently and they don't need it, they're not, they moved out of state, they're not eligible, then we should certainly investigate that. So I was kind of happy to see us investigate that, but I was also kind of disappointed that kind of the governor drug her feet on giving that information to the federal government.
Now, of course, we're speaking here with State Representative Doug Blackson. I know this was kind of your last session here in the State House. Of course, I'm sure you'll have some additional responsibilities here through, because you're in through January, and then that will be the end of your term with the upcoming election here. So, do you have any additional responsibilities that you still may have to go up to Topeka as you kind of wind down?
Well, yeah, there was one today, very important law enforcement officers memorial for those fallen officers across the state that I'm planning on attending. I don't think I can make it doing the radio program here and driving up and back. But, yes, there could be interim committees I'd be asked to serve on. Actually, my term will end at the end of the year, starting next January when a new person is sworn in. So it's been 10 years. It's been a great honor and a great service to my constituents and to the people. I certainly appreciate those people that's had faith in me to represent them. And, some of it's been fun. There's been some disappointments. There's been some achievements. But, 10 years is funny. It's long enough. I've got a few other things in my life to do, but I do appreciate the honor.
So I was wondering if you could maybe go over some of the successes and maybe challenges here, just kind of looking back at your time in office.
Well, we're one person out of 125, at least I am, in the House, and then you have another chamber that's got 40 people, so... some of my greatest accomplishment, I basically would list probably four bills that I felt really, I was a mover and a shaker to get them done, but yet when I say that involves a vote of a whole lot of other people, and so there's really no I's up there. It's a team that has to get something passed, but getting the APRN bill passed, I worked about 6 years on that, getting them out from under a collaborative agreement with a physician, which greatly helped. Certainly local four county, particularly here in my district, allowing an APRN to be able to have prescriptive authority for mental health patients. Second thing, getting wildlife and parks officers, state officers, into Kansas Police and Fire retirement. And then, of course, certainly the one that got a lot of attention was a major mover on the historic water bill that we got passed to actually provide funding for water across the state, and that was very important, certainly for Caney and a lot of that city, as well as a lot of small cities. So that was long overdue. And, you know, I end up carrying a water bill for Hayes, the city of Hayes, simply because that was kind of my area of expertise. I had quite a bit of background in that. And so here we had an Eastern Kansas representative carrying a bill for Western Kansas city of Hayes on the floor. And, you know, it was neat. They'd struggled an 11-year project and hadn't got it passed, and we basically got that passed. And then certainly the PBM, the pharmacy benefit managers, that we got exposed to some transparencies and took that middleman out. Hopefully that'll work for our local druggists. So those are three things that, you know, I can say I had my hands in, but yet it takes a collaborative agreement, and you can work in the House. And, you know, I'm basically one out of 125 representatives that, you know, and it takes at least 63 votes in the House to move it forward, and 80, over 84 if you're going to override a governor's veto on it. So it's been, it's been a great honor, and probably my second, my big disappointment was not getting a really viable property tax reform that would help our locals. That's our biggest challenge that we deal with here in our state, and people are moving out, and I feel like we dropped the ball on that, and certainly a lot of that's local, but at the same token, you know, the governor vetoed one bill that would have been some help, but, you know, we really didn't get a meaningful thing. And then the second thing is it's getting more controversial, a lot more division between the parties. This has probably been my worst year out of 10 of working together. It seems like when we go to social functions at night, everybody gets along, and both Democrats and Republicans. But then when we get on the House floor, things has been pretty heated this year. Started last year a little bit, but it's gotten a lot worse this year. So, you know, I hate to see that. You know, we need to work together. And there's just certain things that are so divisive and red lines in the sand type thing. And like I say, that's got him worse. I think probably society in general is probably that. So, you know, it's been a good run for me. And I think 10 years is plenty of time for a person to serve. And, you know, you get on down. It takes a couple years to really get the hang of things and to be develop the relationships to be able to get things passed. You know, I was very fortunate to have people, fellow legislators, come to me and ask about water, watch how I voted, and follow my lead on that, because, you know, when it come to water and conservation, you know, I was probably the lead person in the House type thing as far as background knowledge. And you know, you look at all the people's expertise, it's kind of like a crossword, putting a big puzzle together. You know, there's everybody has a part of the action and a piece that you get into, and you learn to develop a relationship. And if that person has good background, then you watch them. And if you're not on that committee, you kind of watch them and then kind of follow their lead. So that part I enjoyed. It wasn't all fun, and it is a huge sacrifice, and particularly a large district like mine where I have to travel so much, and a lot of small towns, and that's good. But I have picked a replacement that I'm endorsing, and Marcy Lafine, she's from lives in rural Elgin and has a strong background. She was born in Nebraska a long time ago, but she's been in Kansas for longer, about almost as long as she was a Nebraskan. So I think she'll do well and serve. She has some strong constitutional values. So, you know, we'll see how things work out.
So do you have any advice for whoever ends up being your successor for your position?
Well, you know, stay focused but flexible, and don't let yourself become a legend in your own mind, because it's easy to be tempted with the power thing, and you know, make sure your constituents, listen to your constituents. And I have a lot of small towns, a lot of small areas. Try to be as timely as you can to attend functions. A lot of small towns think I'm important, and if I don't show up, that's just another nail in their coffin. They know they're dying, so sometimes I have to drive an hour to attend a 30-minute function, but I do think it's important. I have a soft spot in my heart for those small towns, so be attentive and listen to what people want, and yet have your strong constitution. I think a good moral compass to base your decisions on is always important.
Well, of course, we do appreciate your thoughts, and I know we're going to get to chat here several more times here before your time is wrapped up. But again, I do appreciate you coming on by the program today, sir. It's always a pleasure to chat.
Hey, we enjoy it, and I thank you, and may God bless us all.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. That is State Representative Doug Blex, who joins us on the first Friday of every month. Coming up next, we are going to have our Ask the Expert segment with Charles Kank. We'll also be getting in an update from Sun Group as well. Got a lot of auctions coming up, too.